In the name of Jesus, amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Most people, whether you're sitting here or you're sitting out in the world, in anger or anxiety, fear, frustration, want to completely erase 2020 from all memory. Look at Time magazine with their huge red circle and line through 2020. Or all the social media memes that we have giggled and laughed at that I can't use in the sermon. But 2020, it's an easy target after all. When you think about all that we have endured, our experiences have been very similar, but yet at the same time, they've been very unique. Based upon our health, our family, our race, our location, our age, our political affiliation, where we work. We've all grieved in some way or another. We've all struggled with loneliness, isolation, felt angry and overwhelmed, even just been plain tired in both body and soul. But as a shepherd of God's flock in this place, and also a lamb within it, I wonder, I hope as you do, will we dismiss this year with all its gut-wrenching nuances, grief, turmoil, or will we confess that God in His Son, Jesus, still intercedes for us, still justifies us in the midst of our sin, and still promises to bring us not only into a new year, but into a new life? Will we be filled with courage and hope because God is for us and not against us? Or will we just simply forget that He has a timeless providential grace and mercy? And like a selfish child, hike into 2021 with our own self-centered survival kit. Because more than any other year in recent memory, this is probably a year in which it's good for us yet again to be reminded where our confidence, where our trust, and where our hope, and where our true life resides. Because it's not in what we are able to do or accomplish, either individually or as a country or as a world. It's not in the power or peoples of the world. It's certainly not in our hands. But rather, it is in Jesus, the one who has overcome the world through His death and His resurrection. It is He, that one who holds us with His pierced and crucified hands and says, "No one can snatch you out of them." It is in the one who is your Savior and your Lord, the one in whom all the passing years are named and all the passing years are lived under. Their banner right above me. In the year of our Lord, Anno Domini, A.D. This is always the year of our Lord. It never is not His year. And this Lord, this maker of the heavens and the earth, who was and is to come, is the one in whose birth into human flesh that we celebrated just 6 days ago. This one, named Jesus, He does for us His name. And that name, Jesus, means the Lord saves, that He will save His people from their sins. And that is exactly what He has done. For we must understand that as terrifying as death and other things that frighten us in this world are, sin is the fiercest enemy that you have to face. It's not COVID-19, it's not crime rates, it's not racial tension and rioting, it's not lockdowns and looting. Yes, in 2020, those things, among other perilous things, have been a deluge upon us. Yet for you who belong to Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, those things really are not really a threat to you at all in many ways. Because the end of your life is simply the beginning of a new life in eternity with Christ. But sin, however, Sin is a whole new kind of beast. Sin not only can separate you from God here on earth, but it can also send you to hell. What do the Gospels remind us? Fear not the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Thus, to know that we have been saved from our sins, to know that we have been forgiven of all of our sins, no matter how bad they are, that the barrier of sin that once separated us from God has been crossed, obliterated, removed, the veil torn apart. And that there is literally now no, not anything that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's not much more hopefulness that you can get from that. So we are not to let the greatness of the afflictions break us. We are not to let the terrors of this earthly life take away from us God's love and God's presence and His truth and His word that says to you, in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your impending death, in the midst of the power of the devil that wields both, you are my child. Now, equally true is that we should not, because of this, then go ahead and then dismiss the fact that because of this, the Christian life will be one of ease and prosperity and everything will go really well, because we all know that that's a complete and utter farce. In fact, it's just the opposite. Because just after St. Paul writes those words to the church at Rome, demonstrating this indestructible connection between the forgiven sinner and the love of God in Christ Jesus, he inserts that quotation. And it's from Psalm 44. And now this was a psalm that was written at a time when God's people were experiencing a really tough time. Kind of like the year 2020 for us. And the psalmist says, for your sake, which ultimately means because you belong to God, because you are God's people, therefore, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Thus, the psalmist makes it clear to us that this is not happening to us because the people have forgotten God. It's not happening to them because they're worshiping false gods. No, the reason that they are suffering and they feel themselves as regarded as sheep to be slaughtered is because they have been faithful and they are God's people. But still the cry will go up, how long or why? And the only answer to that is simply this: it's the way of the cross. It's the way of the Christian's faith in life. Listen to what Luther wrote, hundreds of years ago to the Elector Frederick, regarding a very similar time in history, or a similar time that was very precarious and political at the time. Wasn't a very good introduction, I apologize for that. But Luther writes the following. It says, it does no harm that you should be in the midst of danger because of this. Our Lord Christ is powerful enough, and He can easily find ways and means to see that such danger will do nothing to you. He can very well nullify the plans of the ungodly sovereigns. In addition, Christ tries us, as is right and necessary, through this danger, to see whether or not we too take His word seriously and uphold it as firm truth. For if we wish to be Christians and have life eternal in the world to come, then we cannot in this world be better off than our Lord Himself and all His saints were and still are. Christ's cross must always be carried. The world does not want to carry it, but wants to place it on others. But we Christians have to carry it so that it does not lie around without an owner or is good for nothing. End of quote. In short, again, our life in Christ and our Christian faith is ultimately the way of the cross. So it was for the saints of the Old and New Testaments. So it was for the early church and the Reformation. So it was for even just a generation or two ago. God does something so strange to our eyes, but He builds His church by, as the early church father would say, by the seed or blood of the martyrs. The martyrs, a countless multitude, witnesses, Christians, often nameless to succeeding generations who have no idea who they were or what they did, but nonetheless, faithful men and women bearing the cross of Christ in their body and life and being born anew in the redemptive wounds of Jesus. Thus, this is why St. Paul can write, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ," or through Him who loved us. Notice the phrase, "in all these things." That is, in the midst of all these things. Not in avoiding these things, not in trying to run from these things, but exactly in these things, we are not defeated, but we are conquerors through Jesus Christ. But I will grant you, your flesh and my flesh will simply say, it doesn't always feel like it. And it often feels like actually we are the ones that are being conquered. But then again, you need to ask yourself the question, but who are you going to believe? Who are you going to rely on? Will you let the world and your sinful flesh tell you what is blessed, right, true, honorable, etc.? Will you let your feelings dictate what is blessed, right, true, and honorable? For it is not the word of Satan who determine what reality and truth is, what will be and what is. No, it is our Father. It is His word. What He says, His word is true and righteous and blessed and tells us how life is to be lived. Despite appearances, despite opinions of the world, despite the lies of Satan, despite the lies of our own flesh living within us, it is our Father who sent His Son to bear the cross that determines all reality. And also, that cross tests everything. Think about Mary and Joseph. We just heard about them not too long ago. Remember how they believed the word of the Lord that was spoken to them by the angel Gabriel, and you remember what kind of word that was? The world told them that they were completely nuts and cursed because of that word. And perhaps their own feelings said the same to them. But nonetheless, by faith, through the gift of faith that they had been given by the hearing of the word, they received blessing amid their cross, their trials, their persecution, and their suffering. As one hymnist would put it, "And when this cup you give is filled to brimming with bitter suffering hard to understand, we take it thankfully and without trembling out of so good and so beloved a hand." Even as we drink the cup of suffering, we do so in faith and trust and hope. We drink knowing that our Lord drank a far bitter, far more sorrowful cup for us, because He drank the cup of our sins. He drank the cup of the sins of all humanity, all in that cup that He drank on the night in which He was betrayed. And then through His death and resurrection, He hands to His church and his the church's people a cup of blessing. A blessing within His blood of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Amid all the crosses and sorrows that we bear, whether it be 2020 or 2021 or years to come. We drink this cup at this altar with the full assurance that regardless of the calendar year in which we live, it is the year of our Lord, and our Lord still speaks to us and comforts us through that word. For there are no sweeter words than, "This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is my blood which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And in his crucified and resurrected body and blood, you have the forgiveness of all your sins. Again, a pledge not just simply of a new day or a new year, but a pledge of eternal years with him. So the reason that we can enter this coming year with hope is not because we know that it's going to be better than 2020. For as I mentioned, the people coming into the narthex, for all we know, it could be worse. I pray that it is not, but we don't know. We don't know what successes or sicknesses, what triumphs or tragedies, what fortunes or failures will befall us or await us. But one thing we do know, and it makes all the difference, is that Christ has put on our flesh. And in the midst of everything, he is not against us, but he is for us in the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation. For remember his love that was born in a manger. Remember the love that was displayed in the foolishness of a crucifix. And remember the love that was assured you by the news that the grave was rolled away and it was empty, and that he lives. He lives that all might live. So every year is bathed in his grace, no matter its date. And every moment of life is lived in his forgiving embrace. Or again, as the hymnist pens, so wonderfully surrounded by good powers, we await with hope, come what may. God is with us at even morning hours and goes with us into each new day. In the name of Jesus, amen.